This week we continue our Lent journey into the wilderness, accompanying the desert mothers and fathers as they pursue silence, solitude, and greater levels of spiritual maturity. Today we focus on the power of the wilderness to lead us into revelation, into wisdom. Now we began a few weeks ago by looking at the desert as a place of prayer. We walked into the wilderness with Jesus after his baptism, and we saw how he would often retreat to a lonely place to spend time with his Father. And we saw how his example led the desert fathers and mothers to do likewise, retreat into the desert in search of God, driven by their passion for Jesus and their desire for holiness. Since then, we've looked at the desert as a place of prayer, as a place of testing, as a place of silence and solitude where we might hear God. Last week, we looked at stuff, at materialism, consumerism, and at the freedom we find when we step away from the constant quest to find fulfillment in stuff that we don't really need and which can never really truly satisfy us. So today, move on to looking at what you can call the foolish way of wisdom, at discovering how the desert can be a place of revelation. In his 1987 book, The Closing of the American Mind, Professor Alan Bloom commented on a cultural shift he'd noticed amongst students beginning at university. He wrote, "As it now stands, students have powerful images of what the perfect body is and pursue it incessantly. But they no longer have any image of a perfect soul, and hence do not long to have one." I don't think anyone much would disagree that there is a crisis of wisdom in the world today. We seem to live in an ethical vacuum. We live in a world where truth changes with every impulse of a fickle mind. Truth today seems to depend on the needs of the moment. What is truth? There is no truth, or that might be true for you, but. I'm sure we've all heard various variations on those sentiments. So where can we find? Where can we turn to find practical wisdom for our everyday lives? Where can we find a solid rock upon which to build a framework for living in this crazy world? It is a confusing place today, isn't it? Everything seems so complicated, even right and wrong. If truth isn't fixed, then neither is morality. Expediency increasingly seems the justification for any action. And what do we allow to influence our view of the world? Social media, perhaps. The social media world tells us how our world should look. Heavily edited snippets of perfect lives that don't exist, telling us how to eat, how to look, and just how much exercise and Botox is needed to have that perfect body. Everyone is very keen to tell us how we should look, but no one seems very clear about how they should act. Everyone's keen to tell us how to achieve the perfect body, but no one really seems interested in telling us how to achieve the perfect soul. Practical, godly wisdom is desperately needed. Proverbs 9, verse 10 says, "Fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment." If we want wisdom for our everyday lives, then we need to begin our search at the source of all wisdom, himself. We need to come to God. Now, fear of the Lord isn't the kind of fear that produces anxiety. It isn't rooted in any expectation of punishment or judgment. Fear of the Lord comes from acknowledging the difference between us and God. It comes from knowing that He is creator and we are created. It's that awe-struck reverence and wonder that leads us into worship. To fear the Lord is to organise our lives with Him at the centre instead of all of that. It's to live a God-centred life. Too often what drives us is fear of something else, fear of loneliness, fear of not having enough, fear of missing out. Fears that do bring anxiety, that might even feel like judgment, like punishment. But the truth is, it is our choice. Because if we don't choose God as the focus of our lives, then something else will take that place. It is so easy to centre our lives around earthly fears and desires. They're all around us. But if we want to follow Jesus, then there's only one pathway that leads to a full and wise life. And that's the path with God at the centre. I asked earlier where we might find a solid rock upon which to might build a framework for living. Which brings me rather neatly, I think, to Matthew 7, verses 24 to 29. And it's a parable that Jesus told that you might have heard. It's all about building on solid foundations. Anyone, Jesus says, who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise. Like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the wind beats against that house, it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey is foolish. Like a person who builds a house upon sand. When the rains come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. For he taught with real authority, quite unlike their teachers of religious law. The parable itself tells us that Jesus is talking about wisdom. So what is wisdom according to Jesus? Well, Jesus tells us that wisdom comes down to listening to Jesus' teaching and then putting it into action, living it out. So that when those storms of social media rage and when the world and his wife are telling you what to think, what to believe and how to act, you have a solid bedrock, a solid foundation, a Bible-based ethical teaching by which to measure those words, by which to gauge what is true, what's right. The wise person, Jesus tells us, listens to him. We need to get to know Jesus, even like his original disciples did. And how do we do that? The same way they did, by spending quality time with Jesus. Choosing to spend quality time getting to know Jesus so that we can get to know his character. How would he act? How would he show love in this situation? Now, how might we do that? Well, through reading our Bibles, through spending time with him in prayer, through spiritual disciplines such as using the Lectio 365 app that accompanies this sermon series. Perhaps by meditating on a passage from the Gospels, put ourselves into the scene. What do we hear, smell, taste, see? What does Jesus speak to us about within that time? Jesus retired to a quiet place. He withdrew into the wilderness to hear what his Father was saying. Where might we retire to? What's our quiet place or our quiet time, our wilderness? Where do we hear God best? But that wasn't all that Jesus said about the wise person, was it? What else did he say? He also said that the wise person put what they learn into practice. In our daily lives, we need to live out what Jesus tells us. Live out his character. The world is in a mess. The world needs wisdom. true wisdom. There's tons of information out there, but information, knowledge, isn't wisdom. Wisdom is in a life lived well, a life lived with Jesus at the centre. That means that after withdrawing into the wilderness, into the desert, in search of the voice of God, the words of Jesus, hearing him, meditating what he says, reflecting on what it looks like for us, we must return to our lives, return to the world, and live like Jesus teaches us. Author and pastor Daniel Grother says, the degree to which we give ourselves over to Jesus is the degree to which we will find ourselves growing in wisdom. How can we give ourselves over to Jesus in greater measure this Lent? As Jesus walked the earth, he talked and acted as one who was wisdom personified. His wisdom was so vast that the crowds asked, what's this wisdom that he's been given? The more we grow in relationship with Jesus, the more too we will walk in the way of wisdom. And maybe our lives will also prompt this question, what is this wisdom that has been given to him, to her, to you, to me? What is this wisdom? In our reading this morning, James tells us about two different kinds of wisdom. One from heaven, one from the world. Just listen to that passage again. If you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honourable life, doing good works with the humility that comes with wisdom. But if you're bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lies. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It's also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It's full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favouritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. James tells us what each type of wisdom looks like. Heavenly wisdom is counterintuitive, it's sacrificial, and it's rooted in a deep, deep humility. It's Jesus-shaped. Earthly, or as James put it, demonic, wisdom harbours envy and jealousy. It's chaotic. And its heart is selfish ambition. It might scratch my back, but it'll expect me to scratch its in return. It would be nice to think, wouldn't it, that we would always walk in the way of heavenly wisdom. But if I think about my own daily wisdom, how I think and act in the everyday, how much of the time are my decisions rooted in humility, in service? How much of the time is it peacemaking or gentle? And if I do look at my own wisdom walk that closely, how do my own motives make me feel? How about you? John Cassian, one of the Desert Fathers, said this: it's an impossibility for one who takes to the pursuit of reading, that's the Bible mainly, and the pursuit of knowledge, with the purpose of gaining the praise of men, it's impossible for them to be rewarded with the gift of true knowledge. For one who's bound by the chain of this passion is sure to also be in bondage to other faults, especially that of pride. And so if he's baffled by his encounter with practical ethical knowledge, he will certainly not attain that spiritual knowledge which springs from it. Is reading our Bibles, listening to our apps, ticking the boxes of our spiritual life all enough all of itself? John Cassian agrees with Jesus when Jesus pointed to the practice of those who prayed long and loud in public for the praise of man, saying that they'd had the reward that they were looking for. Truly seeking heavenly wisdom begins in our hearts, begins with our will, with our intent. Are we looking to follow Jesus and learn his way of wisdom? If so, let's try and lean more deeply into biblical wisdom through this Lent journey. James describes heavenly wisdom like this. It's pure, peace-loving, gentle at all times, willing to lead, to yield to others, full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. It produces peacemakers who plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. What might this kind of wisdom look like applied here amongst ourselves? How might it look in your workplaces, local communities? Might it sow seeds of peace there? Might we too reap a harvest of righteousness? And do you know, this biblical, this heavenly wisdom is available to anyone who will listen. Listen to Proverbs 8. Listen, as wisdom calls out, hear as understanding raises her voice. On the hilltop along the road, she takes a stand at the crossroads. By the gates at the entrance of the town, on the road leading in, she cries aloud. I call to you, to all of you. I raise my voice to all people. You simple people, use good judgment. You foolish people, set your hearts on it. Listen to me, for I have important things to tell you. Everything I say is right. For I speak the truth and detest every kind of deception. My advice is wholesome. There is nothing devious or crooked in it. My words are plain to anyone with understanding, clear to those with knowledge. Choose my instruction rather than silver, and knowledge rather than pure gold. I walk in righteousness, in paths of justice. Those who love me inherit wealth. All of those who love me, I love all who love me. Those who search will surely find me. Proverbs describes wisdom as calling out, raising her voice. Biblical wisdom is not some slippery or elusive concept. Wisdom is calling out loudly. Look and see where we can find her. In verses 2 and 3, she's on the hilltop along the road, taking her stand at the crossroads. She's by the gates at the entrance to the town, on the road leading in. We won't find wisdom and understanding in the town amongst the hustle and bustle of everyday life. No, we need to go out. Out of the gates, into the wilderness, into the desert, to a place where that hubbub dies down, and we can listen and spend time with wisdom. If we're approaching a crossroads in our lives, we need to turn aside and seek her on the hilltop, where we can be still and listen and see that much further where each of the choices, the roads we might take, lead. Pastor and author Daniel Grotter says this: wisdom is not to be confused with our present-day fascination with positive tips and life hacks and five-step strategies for learning how to navigate life more successfully. Wisdom is more specific. Wisdom is found in worship, and only as we worship Jesus, the Word of God made flesh. If we want to grow in wisdom, our journey must begin in worship. Worship in our prayer and study, listening in the desert, and worship in our everyday lives as we live out the wisdom we learnt there. What might it mean for us to set our hearts on gaining biblical wisdom? What might it look like? Could you set a stricter limit on screen time this week to reduce the echo chamber of other voices influencing how you should live? Maybe you could listen to a Christian audiobook or podcast or audio Bible on your commute or during that time between having to do this and having to do that. Fill your mind with wise words to ponder. Or could we have a go at memorizing scripture, making sure that God's word is available in our minds and hearts when we might need it? And there's always making time to engage with the reflections and prayers on Lectio 365. We can't live a life of wisdom and revelation without God. He's our source, he's our strength, and he's our guide. I'm going to finish this with a prayer, which is also, if you like, a commission or a statement of intent. It's a prayer written by St. Patrick, whose feast day we celebrate this coming week. Let's pray. I arise today through a mighty strength, the invocation of the Trinity, through belief in the threeness, through confession of the oneness, the creator of creation. I arise today through God's strength to pilot me, God's might to uphold me, God's wisdom to guide me, God's eye to look before me, God's ear to hear me, God's word to speak for me, God's hand to guide me, Christ to shield me today, Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit down, Christ when I arise, Christ in the heart of every man who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me, Christ in every eye that sees me, Christ in every ear that hears me. Amen.